Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Puzzled Parenting and then some, or Puzzled Parents, or whatever we are these days. It's been one of those weeks. Time change hit us like a freight train. If your child has autism, let me hear you say yeah, because you know what I'm saying. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about two subjects. I hope I can remember the second one because, you know, sometimes I get a little bit off track. If you listen to me, you know, I go my own way. First of all, a lot of parents having some issues with, in my area, with dealing with daycares and stuff. And I may have touched on this before, but I wanted to really get into it a little bit deeper. Daycares, private daycares do not have to take care of our kids. If your kids have behavioral problems, they can refuse service to our children. And it's unfortunate and it is hurtful. Oh my gosh, it's just like heartbreaking when they're like 2 or 3 years old and you're trying to take them to daycare to socialize them and they have little friends, even if they're not, you know, verbally able or, you know, capable of engaging properly. They have a relationship that we might not understand with some of these kids and maybe even the adults there. And the adults don't want to put forth the efforts to help our children. So they call them disruptive and boot them out. And do I think that's right? Not even a little bit. I think that, especially in the church setting, because I'm a Christian, I think that I think that every place should have, you know, an area for children who do have special needs. It's not like Alabama or a lot of states don't have this huge fund for parents with special needs children, and they don't have resources. We don't have any place for our kids to go while we go to work, you know, and it's really a huge setback for a lot of parents, especially single parents, because single parents don't have an extra income. Now, my husband and I, we have been separated before. During that time when we were separated, you know, and I played that single parent role, my husband was working out of state. And so he wasn't really there, you know, He wasn't like really present. And when that was going on, you know, I had a lot of trouble because I actually went from having the career to going part time because I had to work with the school doing speech and occupational therapy 2 days a week, half days. I didn't know I had any other options to, you know, put them through due process. I didn't realize all that back then, which is why I try to help parents now understand that they have options. But either way, the point is that, you know, I feel like that we are always reaching out and saying, you know, where can I go? What can I do? How can I do this? I think the answer a lot of times lies within our community and just reaching out to the other parents in your community and saying, what can we do together? And, you know, I don't know who said be the change. Gandhi didn't say that. He said be the, you know, if you change, then, you know, the world will change. But we've bumper stickered that to be the change you want to be in the world, and or you be the change you want to see in the world. And I do think that we should be the change. Be the change you want to see. If you think that there should be a program, talk to your church. If you don't go to church, talk to your school. If your child is 3, you have rights. That child has rights to a better program. You know, don't just say for my child, say for all of us, you know, for all of our community, we need something better. And for my son, we were able to get him into a pre-K program eventually, which was a full-time Monday through Friday. And it was like a 8 to 2:30 thing, you know, which was basically like going to school. For special needs children, and it also had typical peers, because that program that the school offers, which is like a OT speech thing, you know, from 8:30 to 11:30 or 1:30 to 3:30 on Mondays and Wednesdays or Tuesdays and Thursdays. Who can do that if you're not, like, if you're trying to work, you can't. How can you do that? Like, it's ridiculous. But I mean, they're kind of thinking we're getting it done. No, you're not. You don't have, you're lacking typical peers, first of all. So that's a huge thing. So you're, you know, if parents are thinking, well, they are, you know, meeting the FAPE, they're meeting all of the standards. No, they're not. They don't have any typical peers. They don't have any, if your child has behavioral issues like mine, they're not, they don't have ABA therapists there. Most of them don't. There's just a lot of different things that are missing. And you have rights. Your child has rights. Make sure you study your rights, because if you don't know your rights and you don't know your child's rights, then people are going to walk all over you. So I think that's something that that we have to do together. We have to come together on that. And right now, insurance is paying a lot of ABA therapy, which is great for those who use it regularly. My son doesn't leave school to get ABA. He gets school at a. I mean, he gets ABA at school. Like, they go to him. So our insurance doesn't pay for ABA. I could fight it if I wanted to, but I just think it's one of those things at this juncture that is not. It's kind of like pick your battles. So for me, for the little time that I pay for it, which is during Christmas break, Thanksgiving break, you know, those times, spring break, when they're out of school, he'll go to the office and have therapy. And that I pay out of pocket. It's not really worth it to me to fight for that, for the insurance to pay for it, because I would have to fight with the actual ABA therapy place, because they're the ones that are not wanting to file it, because they'd have to file it separately each time. They'd have to start a new claim instead of filing, you know, doing a claim for the year, because my son doesn't come there except for, you know, just a few times a year, and the insurance only approves it for, like, I think a month at a time, maybe a few months at a time or something. So it would be like more trouble than it's worth to them. And it's more trouble than it's worth to me to argue about it. I just want him to get the therapy. So, you know, I always pick my battles with certain things. But back on topic, you know, you can, with the insurance companies paying more and more for therapy, you have a lot more options. And I'm hoping that we get a lot more therapy places up and running right now, in my area, and, you know, in wherever you're listening from, I hope you get those services too, because the ones that my son is going to, they're full. They're backlogged. They don't have enough space. And so children like my son, who are bigger, are kind of getting pushed to the side for the younger kids. And that's not really fair, because we were kind of one of the first clients, not maybe one of the first clients, but like we were there when, before this whole thing blew up. And he's comfortable there, and I like that he's comfortable. I want my son to be where he's comfortable. And so that is, that's important to me. And so, however, if they can't work with us, we'll, you know, have to find somebody else. Anyway, if you can't find a program, and you're having such a hard time looking, you know, you're looking and you're fruitless in your efforts, I would suggest, you know, okay, let's, if you're working full time, I know this is hard, but, you know, start talking to the other parents, because the other parents are looking for the same thing you're looking for. They are struggling. You know, I ended up dropping back part time, which was a huge financial thing for me and my family. It was a setback for us at the time. It would be for anybody when you have a career and you have to do that just to make sure your child gets therapy. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And we had to make a lot of sacrifices. And, but sometimes that's not even a possibility, especially when you have other kids. You know, how are you supposed to do that? You know, when you have when you're responsible for other kids. So it's just, you know, there's a lot to think about. And I feel like that if we come together as a community, we can, you know, I think meetings are important. I haven't held any meetings in person. I talked to a lot of the parents in my area online. I use Facebook, and we, you know, kind of come together with ideas, and it's really great for all of us. excuse me, I just got choked on my water. And we, our ideas, when we come together, our kids have benefited from these conversations. And so I feel like it's important for us to communicate, because if we're not communicating, then we're sort of leaving this huge blind spot, you know, over here. Like, what can we do together? What we know what we can do by ourselves, you know, but when we come together, we make such a huge impact. And so I think that's something that if you're not already doing it, you be the one to start the group, you know, strike out, you know, start a group on Facebook and start adding the parents that you know that are in your area and ask them to add parents that they know. And all of a sudden you'll have this little group of parents, you know, and children with special needs. You can plan, you know, group nights out. You can take turns. You can share responsibilities in opening your own little classroom somewhere. Somewhere has space for you. I know at my church, our church is building a new building right now. And when they do, I already discussed this with the preacher and the board, you know, having a space there for like a summer camp for the special needs kids, because our kids don't have any place to go. And during the summertime, it's really hard. My son does go to extended school year in ABA during the summer. But I mean, you know, it's kind of like if there are weeks out where they don't have anything for him, you know, there's a week out after school, there's a week out before school starts, the week out during 4th of July week, you know, there's just a lot of different things. And it would be great to have a place for him to go instead of having to pay a private babysitter. So I'm paying a private babysitter during certain times of the year to help out, when I could put that money towards, you know, paying for somebody at the church, or, you know, I'm sure the church would allocate funds. They have already said they would. And then we could hire aid, you know, for whoever needs it. If you're already paying a sitter, you know, you just talk to your other people in your area. What are the needs? And then you find a space where they're already serving children, like a church daycare or a daycare of some kind. And even a YMCA or, you know, some place that has a program. The Y is great. They just don't have like anybody to keep a special eye on those of us who have kids that need an aid. So that's why my son doesn't go there, because they don't have anybody to, you know, do that. And I can't, I don't feel like it's a good idea to send him there with somebody that I'm hiring to work with us. And that's a lot more than I want to pay somebody, you know, to be there with him all day. So anyway, because I'd have to be paying the Y, and then I'd have to be paying a babysitter. It's a lot. But if you had a space, if you could make an agreement with a place and have a space, then you could, you know, work something out. It's an idea. And it's what I'm trying to do here. But it's going to be a year before our church's building is finished. So this is something that has been a long time coming, and we've been talking about it for years. So this is not something that's just coming to fruition all of a sudden. You know, it takes time and effort and work, just like anything else. You need to work out a business plan, how it's going to get paid for, just in case you can't find resources. You can always call your local advocacy, your state advocacy service, and see what kind of resources they have for you. but there may or may not be the allocated funds for that particular situation in your area. So it's always, I feel like it's always on us. Like, we have to work it out for ourselves. Even if that's not the case, be prepared to work it out for yourself. And, you know, I just feel that's just the way I feel. I know that's a pessimistic way to come at things, but I'm a realist. I mean, I've done the legwork. You know what I mean? Anyway, on to the next. Something I saw a couple of weeks ago was so disturbing to me. And I just don't know how to prepare myself for some kind of situation like this, which, you know, and I think in my case, you know, somebody's always with my son, so I hope that this never happens. I'd like to start this by saying that that about half of my family consists of police officers, so I am not one of those anti-police officer people. I do think that we do have some out-of-hand officers, and that's in any profession. My Lord gracious, we have out-of-hand nurses. We have, you know, out-of-hand doctors, out-of-hand lawyers, you know, definitely out-of-hand lawyers. Anyway, but right now you're seeing a lot of media attention on, you know, police officers, obviously, and the Black community, which is unfortunate. The other day, or maybe a week or two ago, I saw a video of a young lady, probably about 11 or 12 years old, being wrestled to the ground by a male police officer. At the time, I was just in shock that it was happening. The child kept saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And she was speaking, so I didn't really think anything about, you know, whether she had any kind of mental disability. But it was, as I read on, it said that she was autistic, obviously verbally autistic, obviously verbally able, but still, she probably did not understand what was happening. And I mean, no 12-year-old or 11-year-old or how, no child should be treated in that manner. And so I feel like that because of that, I feel like in wherever you are in the world listening right now, I would love for you to call and speak with your local police department and talk to them. I have like tears in my eyes right now. Talk to them about your situation, about your child, and let them know that, you know, hey, we have special needs children in our community, and I would like to know what your procedure is for dealing with somebody who is a minor and non-compliant. Or an adult who seems like they might look normal, but they don't behave normal. And this is not race related. This is, I understand the Black community has a lot more to deal with at this time. But what I'm talking about is the autistic community and the special needs community. We need to talk to our officers about their regulations and their procedures, because if they don't understand that, hey, I mean, because listen, do you know how many people are ignorant to your plight at Walmart, at Publix, CVS, Walgreens, everywhere you go, people are staring at you. They're ignorant to your plight. They think your kid's just bad. Look at that bad kid over there. You know, somebody needs to spank that kid. If you're in the South, you know that. Somebody needs to whip that kid. But a police officer has a lot more power than just some person walking through the mall, okay? And so we need to know and understand what police officers expect from our children. And we also, because my son is 10, but he looks like a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, and he would be completely non-compliant. In fact, I would say, go as far as to say that he would be violent if somebody tried to grab him in that manner. He would be completely caught off guard, aggressive, and it scares me to think what might would happen if somebody didn't know that he was autistic. And so oftentimes he looks dazed because he has, you know, he has a lot of medications that he's on. He's epileptic. And, you know, he could come off as a drunk teenager for all I know. I don't know. You know, I don't want to put him in that position. And so I need to educate myself on the procedures of the police officers. And I also would like the opportunity to educate the police officers on how to handle children like our kids so that we don't even get put in that position. With all the protesting and tension between communities and their officers, we don't need any extra pressure there. We need to start educating each other. And I think that I know in my community, I think our officers would be open to receiving that. And maybe I think it would be great if we all took a moment to call our local police department and say, this is what we're dealing with. And I would like to know what would happen if if the situation were XYZ, you know, what is your procedure? What is your standard procedure for handling something like that? How can I prevent my child from going through that? You know, I mean, that's what I would want to know. And is there an opportunity for me to come, you know, talk with you about this? Or, you know, is there an opportunity for you to come out and meet my child? And because it's not just going to be for you, again, this is going to be for all the children in your community, but they would get to see that through your child. I think that every step we take, if we don't take it together, if we don't take it one for all, then we're going to be missing a lot because there's only so much one person can do. And so if you just do the one thing, if you just do one thing, but you do it for everybody, then you're making a huge difference. And I think that that means a lot to everybody. And so if you only have time to do one thing, choose that one thing, whatever it may be, and say, I'm going to do this for all of our kids, not just for mine. I want to include everybody. So if you did go to the police department and talk to them, or, you know, if you did speak with a space about a special education program, you would say, not just for my child, but for all the children, and make sure that you educate them on all the different kinds of ways that autism can affect children and adults, and how it might look and how it might come across, and, you know, bring some literature, you know, just, you know, do it for everybody, because that helps. It helps so much narrow down the work for all of us. So bless up and bless out. You guys have a great week. Love you guys.